everyone. You're listening to English Roundtable. I'm Kevin, and today I'm joined with Shane.
Hello, everyone.
How are you today?
I'm great.
Very good. And this is kind of the season for climbing Mount Fuji.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So I know you've climbed, and I've climbed it once, so I wanted to kind of get your experiences, and we could kind of share how it was and if we would ever do it again.
Okay. Well, actually, I've climbed Mount Fuji 3 times, and I wouldn't mind going again, actually.
So when was the first time that you went up?
First time was back in, I think it was 2010.
2010, okay.
Yeah.
So about 13 years ago.
Right.
And then when was the second time?
Second time, I think it was around 2015.
Okay.
And the last time was, I think, 2018, if I remember correctly. 2016, maybe.
Okay. Yeah. So you have 3 times.
Right.
Was there anyone that was more difficult or easier than the other?
No, they're pretty much the same, actually.
Okay.
Same experience, yeah.
I went in 2018, I believe, and I got to go up with my father. That was kind of one of our, you know, father-son dreams or things to do together. So that was really fun to be able to do that with him. So I really enjoyed my time going.
Oh, yeah, it's great, yeah. I remember you talking about that when you did climb, so.
Yeah, it was very exciting. Yeah. And I got the stick. If you don't know, you can buy these kind of like commemorative walking sticks at the fifth station when you go to Mount Fuji. And then as you go along the way, there's little like rest stops, I guess you would call them. And at each rest stop, most rest stops at least, they have like a wooden stamp.
Brand.
And they would brand like each point that you just stop to. So they'll brand it on your wooden walking stick.
Right.
So it's kind of like a badge almost of like, hey, I'm making my way up to the top.
Right.
And it's really cool because at the very top, that's when you can get your final red brand.
Right.
You know, stating that you made it to the top, and they put it right there on the top of the stick.
Right.
And it's really like a nice moment to look it back at all of the different points and that you know where you stopped as you elevated.
Yeah. So for me, you know, climbing Mount Fuji was more of a personal challenge because it's, you know, the highest mountain in Japan. Mm-hmm. And that's why I did it initially.
Oh, really? Okay.
And, you know, it's not easy, but once you do it and you reach the top, and if the weather's nice, it's so beautiful up there, you know.
Yeah.
So it's worth it.
Yeah, it really is. Now, out of your 3, did you always have a perfect sunrise, or was there any that were cloudy or overcast?
Actually, I've been lucky. So the 3 times I did climb Mount Fuji, it was always clear. So
oh, really?
There's always a nice sunrise. Yeah.
You're very lucky.
Yeah.
Now, do you usually plot it out? You look at the weather forecast, or is there any way to really tell that?
So I've been told that historically, the last 10 days of July are historically the clearest days.
Oh, yeah.
So I usually plan it within those days.
And it looks like it seems to work.
Right.
Because you said
so
the
far,
past 3 times have been clear.
Right.
Yeah, we got really lucky. So going up, I was scared because it just rained the entire time, going all the way to the top until about, I'd say, about 1 in the morning. And that's scary because at that point, you've got maybe 3 hours before the sun rises.
Right.
So after stopping at the last point to rest, went outside, the rain had stopped. And on the way up, no rain, so that was good sign. And yeah, luckily, we were able to get a clear sky.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
So I was really happy to, you know, make the climb in the rain and then a glorious sunrise on top of Mount Fuji.
That's a reward.
It really was. Yeah. It was magical. There really are... There's no words really to describe it. It's almost like you're on top of the world.
Top of the world, yeah, exactly.
Above the clouds.
Right.
It's just pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So tell me about your times going up. Who did you go with? And then what was your kind of experiences with each?
Yeah, so the first time I went up with was with some colleagues at work. Yeah, and we just started talking about one day and we all found out that we all wanted to climb. So we arranged something and we did.
Okay.
Yeah. And so basically... I follow a regular pattern. So I usually take a bus from Shinjuku bus terminal at about 8 in the morning and go to the 5th point. It's called Gogome. We arrive usually around lunchtime and then acclimate for about an hour. We have lunch there. The first time I went, I bought, you know, the hiking stick. And,
oh, yeah.
Right. And after that, we started about 1:30 or so. And we hiked to the 7th point where the mountain huts are, the Yamagoyas. Mm-hmm. And we reserved one. We usually reserve a Yamagoya anyway. And when you reserve a Yamagoya, most people just...
Can you tell the listeners, just in case, what is a Yamagoya?
Okay, it's just a little mountain hut.
Okay.
And most people go there to just take a break, maybe take a short nap, and they usually have like a bento for lunch or dinner.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So usually if we leave at the Gogome at 1:30, we usually arrive at the Yamagoya at about 4:30, 5, you know, just about dinner time.
Okay. So it takes you about 4 hours
about,
usually?
Right.
Okay.
But then the next time I go, I have a plan. Sorry.
Okay.
So next time I go, I'll take a donkey.
Oh, really?
Because there are donkeys that you could rent to go up there until the seventh point.
So when they go, here's my question, because I know they have donkeys when you're going down. Is it the same route that they have to go up?
I think so, right.
Okay. So the donkey's going upwards just on that kind of gravel trail. Okay.
Gravel trail, right.
So you miss kind of all the beauty of the nature, I feel like.
A little, right.
Because you're mostly going just on the side of a mountain for the most part, right?
Yeah.
So does it takes you all the way to the seventh point, or it can?
I believe so, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I wonder how long that would take on a donkey.
Yeah, I'll let you know next time.
Is there a reason why you want to do the donkey?
I like riding horses, so I mean, it's just something different for me, you know, because I've done the regular hiking thing for 3 times. You know?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And it's much easier, of course, sitting on a donkey.
It's in the plans for the next hike.
Okay, I see. Now, for me, I went on kind of a tour, so...
Okay.
What was included was the hiking boots, like a rain jacket, basically the simple supplies you would need. Did you have to go out and purchase boots? I actually saw some people with just sneakers going up,
right?
Which I wouldn't do personally. But did you have to prepare as far as clothing or supplies goes?
Well, actually, I've already had hiking gear because I do go hiking occasionally in Japan.
Okay.
So, yeah. But yeah, you could go with, sneakers, but, the problem is if you have sneakers on the way down, if you don't cover up the top part of your sneaker, probably gravel will go into your shoes.
That would not be fun.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. From experience going down.
Yeah.
Yeah. That you definitely don't want to have sneakers.
Right. Right.
For sure. I saw there was a monk that went up whenever I was going and he was in his monk style clothing. It was, I think, sandals.
Oh, wow.
And he was beating everybody. Everybody's, racked up in their Patagonia or North Face or whatever. They spent hundreds of dollars on. And then this monk just lifting up his his cloak or whatever and just walking past everybody. It was amazing to watch.
That's some years of training.
It was very impressive. Right. But I really enjoyed that. And he just blew right past us.
Right.
It was amazing.
Something that surprised me one time was hiking up Mount Fuji was... I've seen older people actually jogging up there. So I think there's some kind of circle or club.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Right, right.
Just running it up.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I could not do that.
Yeah.
I worry it's not that it was a difficult climb. It was mostly that you have to worry just about slipping, if it's wet, for example, when I went.
Right.
Or loose rocks.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I would worry about, but... I mean, go for it if you want to,
Yeah. So usually I've taken the Fuji Yoshida Trail. So that trail is relatively safe and, not as steep as other trails. So I didn't feel that it was dangerous, so to speak. But at night, it was some places along rocky areas. It was a little treacherous. But other than that, it was okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And they also have like guide ropes.
Right. Right.
Going up so you can hold on to it or... follow it along so that's really help a lot.
Yeah,
I saw children going up, so older people.
Right
So it's like this is possible for anybody.
The first time I climbed Mount Fuji, I was surprised because there's a big group of elderly people at the Yamagoya and they beat us there. So I was very surprised.
Maybe it's something they do every year. Good training.
Yeah
When we went up with our tour group, it was funny because it was my father and I, and then there was these three, 20-year-old college student girls.
Right.
And they just, loved talking to my dad. I mean, they barely spoke English, but they just loved, talking to him. And I think they called him, daddy or something like that. So that made it kind of fun to have, a fun group. Most everybody, it was, you don't really get to know anyone super well, but it was, you kind of bond because you're going out at the same time.
Yeah, you tend to talk to people along the trail.
Yeah. And then our guide was really, really cool guy. I think he, those guides, they have to go up almost every other couple days, right? Throughout the summertime. So he was going up multiple times a week. And to watch him go up was pretty amazing, too, to see someone that's just done it not thousands, but probably hundreds of times.
Right.
So that was pretty cool.
And just another day at work for him.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. That's got to be a great great job, I would think.
Just yeah, I mean,
climb Mount Fuji,
job,
and get good exercise,
right?
Meet new people.
You have to love mountain climbing for that, though.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And he definitely had that, like, look.
Right,
he was
right.
A mountain, yeah. Mountain man type style.
Yeah, okay.
It was really good.
Right.
Okay, so you bring your own supplies. Everything's good with that. And then was there anything, any time that you had any issues or troubles?
Actually, not myself, but one of the members of my hiking group, she had a really bad headache. I think it was right after the Yamagoya.
Okay.
So I think it was just because she didn't have enough water. She was dehydrated.
Right. And elevation,
so,
too.
Right. And elevation.
So you really start feeling it.
Gave up and she went down. Yeah, so we met her the next day on the bottom.
So close.
Kilo. Yeah.
So close. You're about halfway there at that point, right? Or a little more than halfway.
Actually, yeah, a little more than halfway. But,
Man. I couldn't imagine being that close and then
yeah.
just go back.
But yeah, she was in bad shape because she had a really bad headache, so
she
gave up. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the other thing that I was saying is the elevation.
Right.
It wasn't super bad for me, but I did feel it at times.
Right, the lack of oxygen?
Yes.
Yeah,
yeah, the lack of oxygen. And then I brought the canned
right.
oxygen with me.
Right.
I used it. I don't know if it worked. I don't know. Maybe it did. But yeah, for the most part, I didn't have any issues, though, with the acclimation to elevation.
Right. The third time I went up with a colleague of mine, and he was so excited because it was his first time. So he was always in front of the pack, and he shouldn't have done that because the next day he was suffering because he didn't have enough oxygen.
He didn't pace himself.
He paid for it the next day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was one good thing is to be able to go with a group. You know, you've got all different backgrounds.
Right.
You know, you've got some older, some younger. But we all had to meet up at the same point.
Right.
And I think that kind of pace was good. And obviously the instructor knew that.
Right.
You know, you can't go super fast. You have to take your time with it to acclimate easily.
Right.
So yeah, luckily that was a good point, I think, for us.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, because the temperature is comfortable or even a little cold.
Yeah.
But I think people forget to drink water, so they get dehydrated.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very true. I think I had a Camelback with me,
okay.
So that worked out really,
right,
really
yeah.
well. But yeah, definitely water was recommended. I would munch on some nuts or some like trail mix things
right.
to kind of get my metabolism back up.
Right.
For me, that helped. Like I brought a lot of like Clif bars.
Oh, okay.
That was really, really beneficial.
Right.
I feel like just give me that power
to
kind of keep going.
Yeah, that's one thing I wanted to make in the cooking club. Yeah, I mentioned earlier about the cooking club, but it's difficult to find all the ingredients to make energy bars. We call them energy bars, like a Clif bar.
Right, right.
Yeah,
yeah. That's the other surprise. This is kind of off topic, but I'm not a big fan of the energy bars that are here. I prefer like the Clif bars. I feel like I get much more power out of those.
Right.
I used to get them shipped or imported in almost monthly.
Okay.
To be honest, just love them.
Well, they're good hiking snacks.
Yeah, they really are.
Yeah.
Easy to pack.
Right.
And easy to eat on the go. So whenever you went up, did you do the food? Because they have a lot of food stations there.
They do. So I always, even when I go hiking at other mountains, I always bring extra emergency food just in case. You never know, right? Yeah, things like...
So you didn't partake in the top of the mountain?
Actually... One time I went up, I think it was the second time, I had a curry and rice up on the top.
Okay, yeah.
A little pricey, but, I just wanted to try it.
Yeah, yeah. And then also you're on the top of a mountain. What
right.
else are you going to do if you need food? You gotta have to pay out.
Yeah. Sometimes up on the top you see people with little burners and, boiling water with their
right,
cup noodle, things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. So whenever you get to the top, how long do you usually stay before you decide to start going back down?
Not long. Like, the longest I've ever stayed was... maybe 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
Because we walked around the rim of the crater.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I see.
But most of the time, just, so tired that you don't want to stay up there too long.
Right. It's like, I made it. I just want to get down.
Yep.
Yeah. I think we stayed for about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And then it was like, all right, I've seen enough.
Yeah, and there's not actually, other than the view, you know, there's not much other than that to see, you know, unless you look into the crater, which you see some ice usually, but
yeah,
that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then if you, you know, once the sun starts coming up
yeah.
and it's a clear day, like it starts getting hot. It's like, okay, yeah. I'm ready to
right.
get back down. So yeah, that's definitely another thing.
I recommend climbing Mount Fuji to everyone.
Yeah. Yes,
it's just because
too.
It's such a, I mean, if the weather's nice, it'll be like a terrific experience for you.
Mm. Yeah, it's only like a 2 day,
right?
2 days out of your trip.
Right.
Really.
Yeah. And, you know, it's not easy, but it's not that difficult. You know, people think, oh, it's really, it's too much for them, but it's not that bad if you take it slow.
Yeah, that's a good advice.
Yeah.
And then for me, at least, if you're traveling in, I would recommend go with a tour group because they will hook you up with the bus. They'll hook you up with a place to stay. Once you get to the kind of three-fourths of the way up, they'll give you a place to stay for a few hours to rest. They'll include your hiking boots, all the gear that you'll need.
Yeah, I
hiking
agree.
Sticks
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, if you're a beginner hiker, yeah, go with the tour group. Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
And then the last thing I would recommend is to go down. When you start going down, go down backwards as much as possible.
Right, right.
That helps my knees a lot. Because I started seeing people going down backwards, and it looked funny. I was like, I don't know why they're doing that. Then I realized, oh, it's because my knees are gone.
Yeah.
So, yeah, going down was the most difficult part
for me. Same here. Yeah.
And it takes about 6 hours or so, 5 or 6 hours, I think, to get down.
I think about there,
If you go at a normal pace, which is a lot.
I don't know about you, but usually my legs are sore for the next 3 days.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good time to go to the onsen.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I would recommend it as well. Go climb Mount Fuji if you get the chance, if you have not. And if you've already done it and you liked it, do it again. Because I think we need to plan our the next time.
Right, and then you can tell us your stories.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, thank you, Shane, for sharing, and hopefully we can figure out a time.
Yeah.
I don't know about this year, but maybe next year.
Maybe next year. Okay, yes.
Sounds great. All right, thanks.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to English Roundtable, made possible by Kanda Gaigo Career College in Tokyo, Japan. If you enjoyed hearing natural English conversation, subscribe and like us wherever you're listening, and check us out on YouTube, Twitter, and our other SNS platforms, which will be in the description for this episode. Head over to the YouTube page to see some of the keywords we used in the conversation and other activities to test your English listening skills. Thanks again, and we'll see you in the next episode.